Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with an astute kicker added to the side, where are my two podcasting sidekicks? First up, he's old enough to remember BBC's Saturday morning's children's show, Live and Kicking. In fact, he's that old, he had hairs on his balls way back as far as Multicoloured Swap Shop. But we wouldn't swap him for anything. It's Sam Sankey. And
Hello.
also, who can remember Kickstart, hosted by Peter Purvis, as we watched that poor lad fall off his motorbike into the straw pit as he smashed his swollen little bollocks onto his handlebars? Yes, here to kickstart and drive us off course with even bigger bollocks, it's Dennis Waywell.
Oh, yeah. All right. I do remember that. Oh, God. It's emblazoned on my mind that.
Yeah. They did, if I remember rightly, Peter Purvis used to present Crufts as well, didn't he? I don't know if he still
Did
does.
he?
Yeah, he did for a while. Yeah, he was. He was on Crufts. And Claire Balding, of course, did Crufts. So should we
Yes.
get Peter Purvis as head of the RFL? Maybe that's the way to get
Is he
through
still
this.
alive, Peter
Yeah,
Purvis?
it's better just check that. Think he is. It's quite a hard one to say that, Sam, Peter Purvis. There's a tricky
Yeah.
one for you to say this week. Warrington will play in the 5,000th game, as will Josh Thewlis as well. Can you say that? Is that
Oh no. Can I give that one a miss?
Lee and Wakefield, I think it are kicking off at 2 minutes past eight, so we are the official 5,000th game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any reason why you're not wearing a top today, Mr.
It's
London?
too hot. We've had such a humid autumn. I wake up every morning and then I lift my chin up and I've got like a reservoir of water on my chest.
Lovely.
Ugh. Oh,
Yeah. Well, it
dear.
says all we can see is the left breast. Could you just show us the right one for balance? There you go. That's
There you
it.
go.
Well, you can get the microphone right in between it. It's a bit erotic that where that microphone's positioned there. It's quite phallic as well.
Talking of
Oh,
eroticism, it's 19 years to this day that I stole the knickers off the washing line from the neighbour. I had this
well.
really sexy neighbour called Felicity,
Oh, dear.
and we shared a washing line. And just once, I did unpeg one of a pair of knickers and, took it into the house. Things change, don't they? Mental health changes over that period of time. I was very unstable back then, but I wouldn't do it now. Wouldn't
No,
do
you wouldn't take the wash ones, would you?
it
Oh, dear.
Right. St Helens away, round four of Super League. The team was Duffy, Thewlis, Ty, King and Ashton, Williams, Sneed, Vaughan, Walker. Am I doing that right? How did they do it? How do all the plebs do it behind the sticks now?
No,
What are they?
that wasn't so bad.
Not so
Yeah,
bad. Okay. Sneed,
Sneed. Just by
Vaughan,
the way,
what?
I'm covering that in tackle bags, but
Oh,
we'll
lovely.
get there in a bit.
Okay.
Excellent.
Vaughan, Walker, Musgrove, Curry, Fitzgibbon, Harrison at 13. Interchange bench was Powell, Philbin, Holroyd, and Wood. So, would Wyre come alive off the back of Sneed's kicking? Here's the highlights.
Turned me on.
Lomax waits at first receiver. He's going to get it to Saylor. Saylor goes for the wide pass to Robertson. Robertson gets it to Bennison. Bennison's away. Support batted down by Duffy. A real try saver there. Walker finds Sneed. Sneed with the early kick, looking for Williams. He's in. George Williams scores.
What is you gonna do when the numbers go? What is you gonna do when the flames go up? Who is gonna come and tell me?
I'll tell you what, we've seen Mark Sneed do this in a Castleford jersey, in an LFC jersey, in a Salford jersey, and in his first game in the Primrose and Blue, he comes up with this.
Come continue to hold their line intact. Here is Knowles, big dummy, going for the line! It is! Morgan Knowles crashes over, and a Warrington canvas! Sailor skips across, fires it to Lomax. Lomax finds Wellsby. Wellsby, the ball's in the air. And it's regathered by Ashton, and he's away. And Manny Ashton sprinting down the sideline. Sailor's going to get back to him, is he? No, he's not. Ashton, the flyer. Is this 6-5 against St. Helens? Ashton races away. Lomax out the back here, they've got hands, they get it away! Oh, the flying finish from Sandu! Try on debut! Sam Burgess and the Wolves.
Final score, St. Helens 12, Warrington 14. Were tries for Williams and Ashton, goals, Sneed two conversions, he kicked a penalty also, attendance 14,068, referee was Kendall Wankcake. Before we review, here he is.
Okay, cue the music. He's the only chap who speaks any sense around here. Old enough to remember Brian Bevan's debut. A man with an age somewhere between 92 and 127. He once stood guard protecting the Suez Canal. Trained and worked as a nuclear physicist. And performed a BBC Two Christmas lecture on why a cricket ball swings. Although that's totally irrelevant. No doubt ready to split more than an atom. And hopefully without his hand on the microphone, it's time for Alan London.
What a difference a kicker makes.
Hell of a difference. You said he didn't do anything else, but by God, he's a belting player. He was man of the match, easily.
He kicks with purpose. Every kick has got purpose on it.
Brilliant. And he tackles well as well. Did a lot of tackling. We got out-muscled in every part of the game, but we won.
The kicking's worth 200 yards, isn't it?
And of course, we've got Matty Ashton, haven't we?
Yeah, he makes a difference. I'd like to see Bullock back from Salford instead of...
Philbin.
Philbin or that Holroyd. Holroyd just gets thrown around like a rag doll. He's committed, he's brave, he's got everything about him that's right.
Well,
he's just unfortunately not big enough.
In the podcast about loose forwards, Harrison is just another prop. He doesn't do anything like a loose forward should.
No, but he tackled well and he ran well.
Tackles well, makes ground.
It's always a bit of a lottery with that referee.
Well, I did give us one a bit when Wellsby ran behind somebody, but that was obvious. But I didn't see there was much wrong with it when I think Williams was away to score.
Yeah, although on the back of that, there was when Powell nearly scored at the end, it was a forward pass. And he didn't pick it. He's just so inconsistent. Anyway, onwards and upwards.
Oh, well, there we are.
Right, OK. Good night.
So, I don't think it's going to be a good night. I'm not going to sleep.
All right, well, you enjoy that. We're off to the beach.
Right, look at you.
All right, see you later.
Bye. Bye. See you, bye.
Well, did he sum it up well there, Sam? I mean, we did seem to be beaten in many aspects of the game. I thought during the match, as I watched it, I didn't feel they were on top, but the stats seem to suggest they were a little bit.
Well, first of all, no. First of all, was your mother dressed this week?
She wasn't on the, was she on the call? I don't think she was on the call, was she?
No, she wasn't. That's
No.
what the listeners are all waiting for. Never mind the game.
No, they've had a very boring week. I don't think they've been out for lunch at all. What's the place down in Lynn? It's just full of old people and they boil all the food. It's down by the canal. They go there a bit. Do you know what I mean?
What one of the pubs?
I'm not sure if it's a pub or it's where all these old people go. It's on the canal on the bottom right. It's going out of Lynn. I went once with
Oh,
him.
the barn owl.
Is it the Barn Owl? Everyone in there is about
Barn owl.
300.
Yeah.
Every dish is boiled for like 4 hours. You
Did the
been?
barn owl turn up on that quiz the other week, or did you miss that off?
Hey, good
Me?
point. Or it
Yeah.
could
I'm
be the
sure
old
it's
number three.
officially
The
a
old number
pub.
three is on the way out as well.
Well, carries 199 to 158. Meters, Saints 1281 to 1030. However, the one that brought us back in line and put us in front kicked meters. St. Helens 4-2-3, Warrington 8-2-2. Is this how you win Super League, Sam? All those meters you lose in your pack, you just kick and put yourself in front.
So if we go back a moment and answer your original question, that I think in general play, for some periods of the games they were superior. They're making more meters. The stats bear that out.
Right.
I thought our defence, our scramble, our connectivity in defence might be a good way to phrase it, was back to the level it was last year. After a couple of weeks of us slagging them off and questioning effort,
Well, you mainly slagged them
realist.
off, Sam, let's be
I
fair.
didn't
We
know
were
that either.
sat on the fence,
Excuse
Sam, and I.
me, excuse me. I came under significant pressure for backing them up, didn't I? But is that the way to win Super League? Well, 822 kicked meters sounded a lot to me, and it is the most Warrington have kicked this year, which won't surprise you. But also out of 60 performances in Super League this year, only four have kicked further. And actually two of them were in the very first game of the season when Lee and Wigan played out that 1-0 game with extra time as well. So 822 is a significant amount of kicked meters in terms of a normal Super League game.
So that basically that those kicking meters offset the need for doing more meters, hence why we were
The
less.
sneed for doing more meters.
Oh, this
Oh
need.
yes,
Oh,
very good, very good. Can we use it? We use an old. For the listener, Rob wearing no shirt has just been attacked by his cat that's
That's his
clawed
own
his
fault.
back. So it is his own fault, that, isn't it? But to use an old phrase, the kick is only as good as its chase. And we chased well, and we pinned them down in their half and made them come out of their half a lot.
Sam, I went to the driving range this week, and the little one's been, trying to hit the ball further and further. It's all very, very, techno now. They've got a radar on the ball. It tells you everything the ball is doing when you hit it. And one of the stats is hang time, how long the ball hangs for, and he's been getting longer on his hang time. 2.1, 2.7. I'd love to know the hang time of a Sneed kick in comparison to Leyland and Leon Hayes.
Yeah,
I'm...
and in even Williams as well,
Mm.
because Williams, if I think back to when I used to see Jonathan Davies put
Yeah,
up those spiral bombs.
he'd have
They
the
used to,
longest hang time, wouldn't he?
yeah, they used to go up above, you couldn't see them. They'd go up above the roof of Fletcher Street and you couldn't see it. Usually coming down on Graeme Stedman, So we did, and as soon as Steadman would take them brilliantly, and then the moment he dropped one, he dropped the next five then, and his confidence was gone. But yeah, hang time. Also, when kicking out from our own half, hitting the grass plenty of times. It was just, yeah, maybe in a few weeks' time, and we see him have a poor performance today. He's all he got his kicks, but bloody hell, it was a masterclass on Friday, wasn't it, compared to the team we had been.
Could you define hang time, Sam? How does that work? What is it?
From the moment it leaves the boot to when it touches the floor or touches the player, that's the hang
so
time.
Is there not a statistic anywhere that collects
be.
That
if,
data?
If Sam did his job, he could actually get his stopwatch out and he could go back through all the back catalogue of games as far as John, maybe not as far as Jonathan Davis, just to the start of Super League, and we could see the hang times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jonathan Davis was playing in Super League.
Well, I think you'll find he wasn't, Sam, because later on in the show, Daniel excludes him. So I went back and had a look, and Jonathan Davis retired the year before Super League started.
Oh, was it the year before?
95.
Yeah. So he was with us 94, 95, and then Super League was 96.
He was with us for 3 years. He did three seasons with us.
Ah, so was it that changeover season then he stopped?
I think he did five at Widnes. He did three with us. He did 18 games with Canterbury Bulldogs, and he did nine games with the Cowboys. There you go.
Listen to you. You've been distracted with the fact that he's got to spend fucking 4 hours at least a week to get calculate hang time.
How are you? How was the Lake District? You sent some lovely pictures of you and Mrs. Waywell walking around Oldswater, looking across to Helvellyn. How was it?
Yeah. Well, I made sure I sent the Instagram photos to you. Actually,
are you on
we
Instagram?
Were laid up. I'm a bollocks. But I basically was laid up for 2 days because I couldn't move. We've been walking like two old people around the house.
Tell
terrible.
Me about it. I played paddle tennis last Friday. Couldn't sit down to have a shit on Saturday.
I'd like to just sort of go through a bit of a... I've made a chronological note for the show, and I just thought we'd like to just go through some of the highlights I've met.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
The first one, and the most obvious one, I think it was from play one, was the Saints team. We were definitely going to play the tactic of trying to throw it out wide and run round us. Did you notice that?
Yeah, a bit of a few goes down that right edge, didn't they, early on? Because Sam had just sent a message saying that our left edge was going to be rock solid. Famous last words. And then all of a sudden I was like,
didn't
oh, here we go.
I said the opposite. We would want to attack them.
Oh, right.
Our left edge would like to attack them.
The interesting thing is that Breers is the attacking coach, so it did seem quite obvious that that might be his influence and maybe his little inside knowledge. What do you think?
What, throw the ball around? Saints always used to throw the ball around. They were the entertainers back in the day.
The next significant moment, and I've noticed that this moment, the word moment, all the commentators have started to use it now, and it's starting to grate on me. Just thought I'd put that out there. Another little thing. But one of the significant things that happened was Dufty's Superman out of defence to stop that pass going out wide. That would have probably prevented Saints' first try.
I went back to that and watched it back. Was it Venison who threw the ball back inside?
Yeah.
Venison, he's passed.
Venison, B. B.
He's passed Dufty before he throws it. Like he's, you know, like Dufty has committed and all he needed to do was not throw it and he just walks in. Like he's not even level with Dufty. He actually has to throw it back. Dufty's gone past him. So.
And all those matches when Dufty's jumped out of the way, the man coming, running at him, and it finally worked.
Yeah. It finally worked, and Rob's just took it all away and said,
"Well,
really,
I saw him just when we signed him. He had a few games left, didn't he, at the Bulldogs? And he tried to do that under his sticks at the Bulldogs, and of course the winger just went, 'Thank you very much,' and just walked in. But Venison's not NRL standard, so he got away with it.
All right, well." What about the next significant incident, which I've noted about a penalty that Saints got from Musgrove?
I think the next significant incident was England scored and went 1-0 up. Lovely little nutmeg under the goalkeeper. Yeah. Yeah, that was the next bit. By this stage, I was watching England just as much. I had the split screen on, and I was kind of watching the England game a bit, lads. So I'll leave it
You
to
can
you.
watch that.
What, Kendal, the push, Musgrove? Are we there?
It was awful, wasn't it? It wasn't. Surely,
he
it
is,
wasn't even
he
penalty.
Is awful referee. He is the worst referee in British or NRL rugby league. And what made me I thought was funny was is that they've all been going for these captain's challenges and getting them wrong because the refs have been getting them right, but not last Friday. I think there was four captain's challenges that were all correct, which means the referee was wrong. And guess who the referee was? Chris Kendal. Oh, he's awful. He is. He actually, him and what's the other one that wears his pants really high? Leon Moore. Those two actually have an impression on the game by their poor refereeing standards. And if you think back, if there was no captain's challenge, game would have been completely different. We'd have had four incidents where the referee got it wrong. And we didn't even challenge the Musgrove one, the push.
No, Lomax,
I don't think he can challenge that. I'm not sure Kendal called that. Kendal wasn't even watching that one. He was looking at the play outright. I have a funny feeling that a lines person
touch,
called
judge.
That.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, I'm glad we cleared that up then. So that's another tick there. I have got something else I was going to mention, but you probably already mentioned that about Snead. Ashton's try, a couple of little beautiful things. Now, remember, three or four years ago when Ashton, Rob was going on, oh, he's never going to be able to draw a man. He seems to make the wrong decisions. Two things that stood out for me with Ashton's try this week. He changed the ball in his hand as the cover came over.
Yes. I saw that. I thought you'd mention that.
Attention to detail.
In case you didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's now developed a little goose step, which Rob's a big favour of.
Did he?
He's obviously
I didn't
a
think
Nazi.
There was a goose step. I thought there was a lack of goose step.
No, he did it a tiny little one when the cover tackle came over.
That standoff's quick. I thought the standoff should have got him in the end, really. The standoff was, he just needed to tap his ankle. He was there, wasn't it? It wasn't like he was flailing at air. He did have a go, he did have a swipe at him, but when someone managed to go straight through his legs.
Yeah.
You know when you see those dogs on Britain's Got Talent that weave in and out the poles? That's what he weaved in and out of Ashton's legs there.
Chronologically, you've gone past the first try.
I'm sorry about this.
Yeah, but I've gone chronological. It's a chronological note because I'm only restricted to three or four lines on my page, so I couldn't get a lot more. So yeah, let's get back to that try if you want.
Which try was that? Do we score more than what?
Why have you got no interest this week?
It's not just this week. I've lost it. Do you know the trouble is? And I'm falling in line with Michelle Cartier. I had a coffee with Michelle Cartier in the off season, and she mentioned to me. She said, "The trouble is watching Melbourne every week. It's spoilt British rugby league for me." And I have to say, I've been watching a bit of NRL, and the disparity between the two competitions in refereeing, commentary. Play, it's just getting bigger and bigger. It's just
the local boys had a good win, didn't they?
Oh Jesus, didn't they just? I mean, they were. I nearly went to watch it because Nicholson was playing. But I got the kickoff time wrong, and also I refused to watch Manly. If they were playing in my back garden, I'd close the curtains. But the quality and the standard. I mean, they were raving about the first try, the Snead Williams try, and then I think Pappenhausen did one for Melbourne for the 48th week on the trot. And the NRL didn't even really mention it. They were like, yeah, okay, that's a good try. Yeah. Because it's not really anything special. It's just a kick through and a score. But who was it? Was it John Wells? He shot his load over it. So
did he?
Shout out to John Wells for getting inclement wrong. He had a bash at inclement weather during one of the games on the weekend with Dave Woods. Dave Woods very quickly put him right and said inclement weather. After John Wells had said inclement.
Inclement, yes.
Inclement weather. Good, the inclement weather.
That must mean something different. Right, well, let's put the game to bed then. Rob thinks it's all shite.
I like that. I'll tell you who's good enough. I think who's coming to the NRL, that number 19 for Saints. Is it number 19 there? Prop came off the bench. He's way better than Thompson. God, he runs hard. He's a good player. I liked him. And also, there's no doubt about it. We got us and Castleford got the best years out of Clark. Clark just doesn't skip anymore. He's lost that little skip and run, hasn't he? Oh, I don't know what were his figures like, Sam, compared to Walker's. Walker's by far. That was a good tactical move, letting Clark go and keeping Walker, putting Walker on more money. Walker's the better hooker than Clark now.
It reminds me of the Alex Ferguson days, where he always used to let Man United players go when they seemed to be right at the top of the form, but actually you'd only get another year out of them. So he just thought, "Oh, I'll let him go now, get a load of money for him, and bring someone else in."
Yeah.
I can't believe what I'm looking at. Darryl Clark, three carries for just 10 metres.
There you go.
Three carries, 10 metres. Bloody hell.
Just doesn't run from acting halfback anymore.
No.
Nothing there at all. I mean, they mustn't be too happy with that. They've had a series of great hookers.
Yeah, and even if he was playing like he did for the last couple of years with us, they'll be comparing him to Roby, won't they?
Who'd you prefer, Percival or King? Because I've been told this week that Hull are after Percival. And if it doesn't come off, Toby King is their next target, which would free up 80% of our salary cap. So probably not a bad move for us.
I thought he played well this weekend.
King, yeah. I think I'd rather have King, because Percival, when he's good, he's very good, but he's equally, any moment his hamstring or his knee goes. And then he's out for 6 weeks. I'd like to mention two players. One you will not be surprised to hear is Ben Curry.
We need some music for this.
But until about 3 minutes from the end, when he missed, I think it was Percival actually running at him, and they made a 50-meter break that nearly lost it. But having to move positions, him and Roderick Tye, having to move positions all the time, and Harrison.
Are you giving Roderick Tye some praise as well? Because you just seem to throw him in the end of that sentence there. But
yeah, I thought the longer the second half went on, the stronger, generally speaking, apart from that one over them two looked. And when they've had to shift, they were under pressure defensively.
He's had the shits.
Calls him they.
Roderick Tye.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. The longer it went on, the stronger them two got generally. And also James Harrison, because maybe at 70 minutes or so, I thought, wow, Harrison seems to have done a lot of minutes. And it was only after the game I realised it was all the minutes.
Yeah, playing well.
What a great effort that was.
Move him into the front row and buy a proper loose forward.
Should we address the elephant in the room then?
Oh, right, go on then. Yeah.
The change of form. What are we putting this down to?
Well, I mean, we got beaten in every asset of the game. Okay, the defence was a little bit better.
Facet.
Sneed kicked us out of trouble, didn't he? Sneed kicked for 399 metres more than Saints, and that took away from the 200 or so metres that Saints had gained in their forwards. Pretty simple stuff.
Well, all right, it's simple. Yeah, but what's caused the chain?
Sneed caused the
chain. Oh, so it's nothing to do with the coaching
No way in a million years we'd have won that game if Mark Sneed was not on the field.
Well, I don't
How would
about
we have
that.
Won it? He kicked us to victory. His kicking was superb. It was an absolute quality show. On one occasion, we struggled to get off our own line. We went about 5 metres off our own line, yet still started the game after Sneed had kicked it downfield, down their end of the field, because he kicked it virtually the length of the field.
Dennis, I hate to say it, he has got a point. I would counter that, Rob, to say defensively, that was more committed than we've been in any game I've watched. Do the two go together?
Of course they go together. It's all about kicking.
You've never mentioned this in previous weeks. that kicking was the key.
I was just blatantly surprised how rubbish our kicking has been for so long. We haven't seen kicking like that since Lee Breers. We haven't seen anyone who can kick a ball downfield like that. I know Austin used to punt it up in the air, but it was all a bit close your eyes and hit it up in the air. But
that was
just kicking, just kicked us into position. Not one of his kicks went too long. Never did they start on the 20. The hang time was superb, so the defence all got way up. There was a huge amount of momentum off the back of Snead's kicking. If you'd have put Leyland or Leon Hayes, we don't know as much about at the moment, but or Ratchford into those halves, we lose that game by 10 points. If anything, they get on a roll and they beat us by more, which is great. He's in our team. He's in our team now. Snead is in our team. Can Snead kick us to victory?
Yeah.
What do you think, Sam?
Can I just put something then up for tackle sacks? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Points.
And your negative points.
Yeah.
There's been a bit of negativity from two out of the three people on this podcast about
who is
making our signings and then giving negative points to Carl. So if he's making
we make one signing because someone from Salford isn't getting paid and all of a sudden he's a masterclass. Shouldn't be anywhere near our signings. Doesn't know what he's doing. No idea. Absolutely no idea. What a load of bollocks. Looking at the halfbacks, I went back through Super League and looked at number sevens, Super League Grand Finals, winners of Super League Grand Finals. Danny Maguire has won more Grand Finals playing at seven. Rob Burrow has won three. He did start, I don't know how many he started, but he started one of those Grand Finals, not the one I've put down, but he did start at hooker. So that's why he didn't win quite as many. I didn't realise Danny Maguire would play. I thought Danny Maguire was six, but he was on the team sheet as seven.
I had to check when you send that through. And has he put both halfbacks and then red scrum half and then
So there's been this. I don't remember that. So the first scrum half ever to win in '96 played for Wigan was Tony Smith. Yes. Do you remember him?
Yes,
I don't remember him.
Yeah, little dark haired. Yeah.
Okay.
I was there at that game.
So yeah, Tony Smith.
Jason Robinson went in.
Was he there? Was he still there?
Yeah, he scored the Wigan try.
Tommy Martin has won one. Sean Long has won three. Robbie Paul won. Again, I think Robbie Paul started at hooker and the others are at six. Paul Deacon, two. He was a good kicker. He had very little part from kicking. Danny Maguire, five. Rob Burrow, three. James Luluai, two. Matty Smith, two. Lance Ohio, one. Theo Farge, one. Johnny Lomax, two. Jack Welsby, one. And Harry Smith, two. Will we be adding Mark Snead to that list, Dennis, come the end of the year?
Well, the worrying thing about that list is that it is centred around three teams, really, isn't it?
Four,
a bit of Bradford.
Four teams.
I mean, well, you know, with this kicking to victory thing now, well, we've obviously got to produce the What Brethren merchandise for this now, have we? And get the T-shirt, kick to victory.
Yep.
With Snead on it. You could have that, Warrington, if you're listening.
I like Snead's Instagram. Have you had a look at Snead's Instagram?
No.
He's just a normal bloke. No, he's not got his top off in the lake at you know, Pickmere Lake. He's just a normal bloke with his nice wife and his just really just what I would class as a normal person. You know, didn't get my goat up at all compared to some of the other ones there.
Is he your new favourite then?
Yeah, just a normal guy. Just a normal guy, no ego, just nice pictures. You know.
Yeah. Are you playing Love Is in the Air over this section? Jesus Christ. It's getting a bit much now, isn't it? Hey?
Can I raise one more little stat I noticed that just Super League away?
We could give you a section, you know, called statistics if you wanted.
Nah, don't bother with that. Puts too much pressure on. Away at St. Helens, when they were at Knowsley Road, we lost all 17 games. Since the move away from Knowsley Road, we've played them 18 times and won 11. 61% win rate now.
Do you put that down to the ground or the players? Oh, no, definitely the ground.
The ground. Definitely.
Excellent. I could go there with my dowsing rods and dows for them. I'll write to the RFL again, I think. Now you've got that off. I think that'd be a good idea. What about the anything else you want to cover off on that? I mean, what are you doing now, Mr. London?
I'm looking at the difference between asset and facet.
No, I fucking knew it was bothering him. Come on, get on.
Sam Burgess told BBC Radio Merseyside, it was a real gritty performance. We knew it would be a tough game. Saints are a physical side, but I'm proud of the effort the lads put in. We got a lot of knocks. A few out there are on one leg. All our backs might be struggling for next week. We might have to do a bit of reshuffling. We saw Mark and George connect in the first half. We'd not practiced that. They're just two talented lads out there playing rugby league and having a bit of fun. There you go. Maybe you should practice it. Just saying, you're a full-time professional side. Maybe you should practice it. Sorry.
Yeah. Have you not bumped into him this week, Sam? Not,
no.
Oh, word?
Maybe that's what it's down to. The Burgess family stroking my lucky puppy.
Oh, I think that's a completely different podcast that you've just mentioned there.
Well, there we go. Out of trouble. Let's have a look at the other Super League table results. Salford 23, Huddersfield 10. What's happened to Burgess, the brother? Apparently they spent practically their entire salary cap on him. Is he not even playing? Is he playing or just hobbling round?
He played against us.
But he's not. Has he not been playing? We've dodged a bullet there, haven't we?
Definitely.
Both the Burgesses have come. The other one, didn't he? He came back to Wigan and lasted about 2 minutes when Ben Bernard-Basilla ran over the top of him.
He knackered his hip, didn't he?
Yeah, cold gets in.
That's it. You see, that's why Barry Sheen moved to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
That was the entire reason. Yeah. Wakefield 12, Hull 16, Castleford 4, Catalans 26, Leeds 12, Wigan 10, and Hull KR thumped Lee 30 points to nil. I did watch a bit of a Leeds-Wigan game. That was poor. That was poor. Everyone was raving about what a great game. God, it was poor compared to NRL. Oh, God, it was poor.
Oh, dear.
He's come full circle, hasn't he?
Wigan.
Like Stephen Ratchford playing halfback, full circle.
Wigan was shit in the first half.
And Leeds kept dropping.
They raised the game. Yeah, they raised the game to Leeds standard. I know what you mean. It was pretty dire.
Oh, it was bum. It was a bum game. They moved. Alan London Sr. said Wigan made the mistake of moving French to fullback. Best standoff in the comp, and they moved him to fullback. Didn't have his hands on the ball enough. He did score a try, but why move him to fullback when you've got... Surely they've got a lad who can play fullback, keep French where he was.
You'd think so.
Leaves the table looking like this. Huddersfield still to win on 0 points. Salford, now they've lost Sneed, they've found form on 2 points. Castleford Tigers on 2, Catalans on 4, Wakefield on 4. Warrington, Leeds and Wigan all on 6. We've caught Wigan and Leeds up, Sam. We've got the poorest goal difference of minus 22. Wigan have got an 89-plus goal difference. Saints also on 6 points. They were obviously offered the Salford under-11s team, so they have a points difference of 130 in fourth place. Hull in third on 7. Lee in second on 7. And Hull KR out on top, 3 points clear. On 10 points.
Looking at that now, the Hull side's in the top three. Hull FC is the big surprise, like we said last week. But Hull KR, from what I've seen, they just look a pretty good team, don't they? You know, they just keep churning the results out now.
Well drilled, bought well.
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it, when you have someone who can buy well, like knows a good player and can buy well? You
don't have to make a desperate
attempt to buy someone who's not wanted by their side.
Yeah.
5 weeks into the season. Yeah. Interesting.
Before that, John Craven's news round.
Oh, On to the news. Warrington winger Josh Lynch has been banned for 16 months for the use of a prohibited substance. The 21-year-old was tested by UK anti-doping in December 2023 and returned an adverse analytical finding for a growth hormone. Lynch has been on the sidelines since a provisional suspension was placed on him in February 2024, meaning he will be available for selection again from June. I'd forgotten about Josh Lynch.
Yeah.
He was a tricky one to say, Josh Lynch. But
have you had any adverse analytical findings in the last few weeks?
I knew. No. I'm all good.
What did you know, by the way?
Well, I thought because it was growth hormone, you were going to go down that path. You know, I thought you were going to start.
Oh, so that's what was on your mind.
Oh, dear. Well, I mean, he's got it right in terms of that he realises the Warrington pack's not big enough. Maybe he was making a play to get in the pack. Maybe that's what he was looking to do. Concussion lawsuit against rugby league authorities reveals nearly two-thirds of 168 former players assessed shows signs of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Something like that. I did look up how you said it, and it just seemed that YouTube was just full of people trying to say it and getting it wrong. I'm not quite sure how you say it. The claimants argue negligence in player protection, linking connections such as dementia and Parkinson's. In the NFL, a similar concussion lawsuit resulted in the settlement of over $1 billion for former players. Where are we finding that money, Sam?
They'll be lucky if the rugby league's got 100 quid, never mind a billion.
Yeah, that's just a bit of a...
Oh, dear. Anything on that one, Dennis? You're our medical expert.
Oh, God. I think we need some insurance going forward. You know, I think if the data's consistent, because I know they've got the same things going on in Australia. If the data's consistent on all codes and regions of rugby, then I think they need to calibrate or recalibrate, like, you know, from the data that they've got to make sure that they are treating, you know, people for this thing. And then maybe they have to have assessments before they even play rugby and say, right, you know, have you got any history of this, that, and the other? And then stop people playing it then. There you go.
I mean, ultimately, it's the brain smacking against the skull. It's not good for anyone, is it? You know, if you're involved in a car crash, you don't want one more of them, and you shouldn't be getting knocked
boxing.
Out.
Boxing. Well, I mean, boxing's whole thing is
And they all end up, don't they? They're all, you know, I was watching something on.
And they've even stopped heading of the football for young kids as well now in certain places.
Sky Sports' Brian Carney hinted at major upcoming changes in rugby league during the St Helens and Warrington broadcast. His comments have sparked speculation, but no details have emerged yet. Carney said 30 years ago next month, April 1995, was described as one of the most tumultuous months in rugby league history. Mergers were mooted and we went from winter to summer and we heralded the arrival of Super League era. That will be a teddy bear's picnic compared to what is coming in the game of rugby league in the next weeks and months. If jaws were on the floor in the last two or three weeks, what is coming down the line is going to knock it into a cocked hat. Now, I struggled with this because I saw Dennis sent it through. I think Tryline had printed it on Twitter, and I saw it a few other places as well. And I was like, I don't think that English is right. I don't. And I went to see, you know, the master's degree Mrs. London in English, and she looked at it straight away and rolled her eyes. So they'd all put the apostrophe in the wrong place in the papers. They'd called it a teddy bear's picnic, and they'd put the apostrophe after the R, which means there was only one teddy bear at the picnic. Now, I don't think when there's a teddy bear's picnic, it refers to one teddy bear. I've always thought there's a lot of teddy bears at the picnic. So hence why I've moved the apostrophe into the appropriate place. But I thought that summed up rugby league, just the, you know, a game.
Could it be just one big teddy bear?
It could be. It could be one. Look, if Carney was referring to one teddy bear, the apostrophe was in the right place. But I have a funny feeling that every fuckwit who works in rugby league doesn't know where to put an apostrophe. So there we go. We'll be right back.
Johnny. Oh, yes, that rift will fit in beautifully on our new album, like a hand in glove. You can play my G-string anytime, dear.
Oh, Samuel, just listen to it. Oh, it's music to my ears. Oh, why, I haven't seen such dexterity. With four fingers and a thumb since I caught Robert McCaffrey knocking one out in the green room on Scrum Down. Oh, female scrum with a loose arm. This can put the album back on track.
Yes, Mr. Sneed's limitations on the guitar, I thought. They know no bounds.
Where on earth did you find him, Samuel?
He was hanging out the back of Salford Boys Club.
Oh, well, I know the Queen is dead, Samuel, but I think we've just found our king.
Talking of king, Ralpho, I'm not sure he's up to backing vocals, and his movement in the centres is now so erratic.
The thing is, Sammy, I think you'll just find he's oscillating wildly.
Well, we need to get our new halfback, Ralphie, dressed and fed. He must be penniless. His Red Devil's tracksuit is threadbare.
Yes, he hasn't got a stitch to wear.
We are through to Challenge Cup quarter-final, Ralphie. Do you think we stand a chance now?
Oh, I don't think so, Sammy. With this lot, there's bound to still be panic on the streets of London. Or Birmingham, as I wonder to myself, that's where they might be holding the Magic Weekend.
We just need to find our form, Ralpho.
Oh, don't remind me, Samuel. Well, I took a look at the league table yesterday, and heaven knows I'm miserable now.
At least when the tannoy felt from the HGS stanchions, Ralpho, it didn't quite kill Jenna Brooks. Although it did leave my favourite Sky girlfriend in a coma.
I know, it could have been serious.
If only we'd known it was about to fall.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
And where's Fitzpatrick got to? I thought we were upgrading the stadium.
Yes, there is a floodlight that never goes out.
Oh, he's probably boasted to press again.
Oh yeah, his big mouth strikes again.
And what's with these Benny Westwood vegan baguettes?
Yes, but meat is murder, Samuel.
Right, Ralpho, I'm off to give the lads one of my NRL stories. Stop me if you've heard that one before.
Oh, frankly, Mr. Shankly, that's tackle sacks. Besides, Sammy, if you ask me, these things take time, and it doesn't matter how good our new halfback is on the guitar. With our set of forwards, what difference does it make? I mean, I could have made reference to a rubber ring there.
Well, I twigged what was going on quite quickly, but a bit too slowly. But a bit too slowly to count the number of references. Mm. And I did intend to go back and re-listen again, because I only got 12, I think, first.
Oh, was that many, was there? Right.
Yeah. But I did intend to go back and listen again. Well worth going back and listening to a bit of Johnny Marr in the background there. And actually, yeah. good music on your highlights.
Shout out to Chris London for doing the riffs.
Very, very good. There's some more good music coming up later as well. I'm very impressed by the music this week. Very impressed by the choice of it.
Yeah. Right. Could change that, Rob.
Even though I'm sure many are keen to consign Wire's trip to Vegas to the bank of bad memories, never to be spoken of again, I did have a thought about another place of USA fame this week, Mount Rushmore. The question I started to ask myself is who would be the faces of a Wire Mount Rushmore? Now, the question is not as simple as naming the four best players the club has had, because it's about more than that. It's about being a part of Wire iconography, about having a strong association and bond to the club. It's also worth pointing out that as someone still just about under the age of 30, I'm going to have to base this entirely on the Super League era. It's probably easier to start with who doesn't make the cut. Andrew Johns, Alfie Langer and Greg Inglis are rugby league legends, but none of them played long enough for Wire to have a case here. The likes of Stephen Ratchford and Ryan Atkins have been top players for Wire once upon a time, but you really need someone who was adored throughout their career. It's hard to include anyone whose exit was even slightly cloudy. No place then for Mike Cooper or Chris Hill, fantastic servants that they were. Daryl Clark was the symbol of an era at Wire, but moving to play for a rival is a tough one to take. Brett Hodgson, a tremendous player for Wire, but three seasons probably just isn't long enough for a justified place. One of the most gifted players that's ever played for the club during the Super League era is Paul Sculthorpe, but of course, his association with St Helens is much stronger. Adrian Morley comes close, but playing for three other Super League clubs means that I cannot pick him either. Other than Ratchford and maybe Ben Curry, none of the current squad have been at the club long enough to earn a place, though hopefully Matty Ashton and George Williams can continue their rapid ascent in the hearts of Wire fans. So, enough about who doesn't get in. It's time for me to reveal my choices. Firstly, Lee Breers. An obvious one, really, and ever-present for nearly two decades, Wire's maestro and talisman, a player who was brilliant to watch and wore his heart on his sleeve. In a similar vein, I'm picking Ben Westwood. His impact on the club and the place was so big that for his last match in 2019, the club renamed the South Stand after him. My third selection is Joel Monaghan. In Breers and Westwood, I've gone for two players whose quality cannot be denied, but for Joel Monaghan, the numbers alone do the talking. 145 appearances and an identical number of tries. Paul Cullen is my final choice. After playing for the club for 16 years, he returned as head coach in 2002, masterminded survival from relegation. His mural near the Halliwell Jones demonstrates how well thought of he still is.
Lee Breers, Benny Westwood, Joel Monaghan and Paul Cullen. Mount Rushmore. What are we thinking, boys?
Good. I think that was excellent, that little segment there from Daniel. Mm. I heard what he had to say, and I did have Ratchford in mind, but I realised that that was a Mason's challenge.
I think that. Do you know, I actually looked at that. I looked into sculpture and the fact he's gone for four current buns there. He hasn't put any horses in there. And Ratchford's nose would have been absolutely brilliant to put in. There was a very famous sculptor called John Warrington Wood, who were specialised in more pointed features. Quite a bit in the Victorian Albert Museum down in London. So if you get the chance, go and have a look at that. But I'm with you. Very easy faces to do that. I mean, Super League here, he may as well do them in sandstone and let them rain away, if I'm honest.
I thought that given he restricted himself to Super League, and as you've already mentioned, Jonathan Davis, and he said his players had only been here for 2.5 weeks.
You need a sharp chisel for Davis's nose.
You would. But I just thought if my old man was still alive, he'd have said Bevin, Norton, Helm and Bath.
Do you know what? I had Bevan. I had Brian Bevan down. I was going to put Harry Bath in, but I've gone Les Boyd instead. My third one,
lost a face there then.
My third one, I was contemplating Davis, but I've gone another Bevan. I've gone John Bevan, just because I kind of... Yeah. And my
He's
fourth
a favourite of yours, isn't he?
Yeah, my fourth one, without a shadow of a doubt, who needs to be on the end, is Simon Moran.
Mm.
Just a second, Simon. We've still not got the Oasis tickets. Just the two needed. Mrs. London. Miss London. Thanks. Cheers.
Five. Four. Three, two, one.
Tackle Sags, a go.
So, listen, Tackle Sags this week, I'm not. There's no points to issue. I personally thought that everybody put in a performance and didn't really do it. So the league tables: Pitts Patrick 20, Ollie Leyland 6 points, Curry 6 points, Pell 6 points, King 3 points, everyone else bar.
How about 4 points? 4 points for Kendall Mintcake for having four of his decisions overturned.
Ugh.
No, I'm not doing fucking referees. Jesus. I have put Philbin on SAG watch.
Uh-huh.
He's still bouncing around as he runs in. Needs to be sort of getting his head down.
Yeah.
Right. So, no tackle SAGs, real, apart from that 10 points by Mr. London. One thing I'd like to cover this week is the recent signing of Mark Snead has now resulted in the fact that the Warrington crowd now chant his name after him scoring in that very deep, dull Snead has been thing. And it absolutely fucking grates me. I fucking hate it. So I thought Sam has agreed with this. He's not signed the waiver yet, but Sam is supporting this latest project where we're looking to find the next Snead voice. So I've got a few examples here I've downloaded, and I'd like to just play them to get your opinion. And Sam's promised that he'll start this particular new Snead chant next week. All I've done is just changed the pitch.
Has this been passed to go in the edit? This is going to put half an hour on my day now, isn't it?
No. Here we go. You ready? So here's the first one. Yeah, that's that. So what do you think? Do you think that would go? I think it's a good fit with the kids. This one is my second one. I think you could actually just play it through the audio system, so you don't actually then need the crowd to make fools of themselves. I've got a different selection now. I thought Darth Vader. What about Darth Vader?
That sounds good.
Sing.
That wasn't Darth Vader. That was Darth Vader.
Yeah, he's not very good at this one.
Yeah,
I've not paid for it. It's a free voice changer. So I would like the listener to phone in, vote in, phone Rob up, or send us an email to whatbevin.com. And let us know which one you like. Yeah. Well, have we got that email address?
No.
And Sam will start that off. So, Sam, could you just give us a demonstration of your Snead?
In just any general one or one that you can
We're not
change.
Doing this podcast together. This is what it's come to, isn't it? No, this is it. We're done.
Rob, have you got one?
No, I'm not participating in this fucking lowbrow shite. This Snead. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Bring back national service. Just let open the turnstiles up as they all leave. They can all go off to Colchester for 2 years.
We've moved on from kicking to victory now to sending him to bloody boot camp, the army.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict before the podcast returns. Possibly 20 games to predict before the podcast returns. First up, it's Super League. And Leeds at the Halliwell Jones. The game gets underway on Friday night at 8 p.m. Then it's back to the Challenge Cup quarterfinal when Wyatt take on St Helens again. This time the tie's at the HJ on the 6th of April, live on BBC Two at 2:30 p.m. Before we all realise, betting's a mugs game. Here's Hal.
Well, well, well. Motherfucker. To use an old Steve Price catchphrase, I never saw that coming. Who knew that all you needed to do in Super League was have a competent kicker? And ironically, the last one Warrington had is now sitting in the St. Helens coaching box. Why the fuck would you give up living on the Gold Coast to return to that Merseyside cesspit? Anyway. Great game, Wyatt. Now let's see if you can back it up with a win against Leeds.
Well, I mean, I lost £201 in the, I mean, couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I know.
Dan Russell didn't play.
This is why you should never bet, Sam. Betting is a mugs game. And this was, the, I mean, just thank goodness Sam's covering the debt for me. But I'm down to £73.35. Dennis lost another £10. He's down to £91.03. Sam's, both his bets came in. He got the Williams kick and he also went for a Warrington victory. So he won £26.88 off a £4 bet. He's still in the red though, £99.33. Right. So we're just doing the Leeds game, boys. We're not doing the Challenge Cup. So we'll do the Leeds game. I think you're out in front now, Mr. Sankey. You should go first.
I am. And I think this is very hard to predict because listening to Mr. Burgess, we might have none of those five who started against St. Helens playing. Or they might, or four of the five of them might play. I don't know. So I'm going to go extra cautious.
Oh, here we go. This is it now. He's going to be going 25 pence between now and the end of the season to keep out in front.
No, I'm just gonna go £3 on. Go on, I'll say Warrington, although I'm not confident this week.
Okay, yeah.
And first try scorer, Danny Walker.
Oh.
£1. Just £1.
£1, right. Okay.
Just £1. Bloody hell.
Do you want to go next, Dennis, or do you want me to go?
It's very straightforward. £3 on a Leeds win. Just because I'm just doing the opposite of Sam on that one. Russell, £5. He's bound to make it back in the squad. Play him on the wing.
Dan Russell.
Yes, that's the one. Have we got another Russell?
I don't know. There's probably more chance of Matty Russell scoring first for us, to be honest, but there we go. All right, I'm going to go 25 pence on a Warrington on a Warrington victory. I've learnt my lesson. But I think you've missed a trick there, Mr. Sankey. I think we'll be doing the old Sneed Williams combo again. So I'll go. I'll go Williams 25 pence. There we go.
Jesus Christ,
that's too much, boys and girls. Never bet. Okay, that's it. We'll see you in a fortnight. That's 14 days and not the computer game. One for the younger demographic there. Okay, so until then, it's a battle royale goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
A zero build so long from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
And a creative cheerio from me. You've been listening to, possibly for the last time, What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm off to watch the NRL.
Can I kick it? Yes, you can. 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 Well, I'm gone. can I kick it? To all the people who can quest like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what live was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cause getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nipper the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like...